Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
What's going on, Los Angeles? Welcome back to the LA Football Show, live from Indy at the Combine. You can see it if you're on video. Lucas Oil is literally directly behind us. Great spot here. I'm Anskinny T. Booked the reservations. Well done, my friend. This is your LA Chargers segment. If you're on radio, welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in. Always on LA Football Network. Bolt fam, hope you're doing well. We've been here now, 40 hours-ish?
Yeah, 30 hours, I bet.
Something like that.
I got in about 5 last night.
Yeah, so, we've been here at some point of time, depending on when you're listening to this.
We're doing the Baker Mayfield thing. Just hop right in.
Just hop in. The water's warm. Don't be shy. But no, it's been great. So thank you all for tuning in. Show is always brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. Head to betonline.ag today. Use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. Gets you a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's free money. Bet on any sport, and they're giving you free money to play with. So betonline.ag, promo code BELIEVE. Tell them the guys at the LA Football Network sent you. I'm Ryan Dard. This is Skinny T, or Ryan Anderson by birth. Ryan Leroy Anderson. By birth.
Yeah.
A Midwest mogul over here. What's up, brother? How we doing?
Doing fantastic. I'm loving this room. I was just looking at myself in the camera because I do that because I'm a little vain, but I got the LAFB logo. LAFB logo.
You're pretty tricked out. LAFB.
I'm totally company man for you guys.
What are the boxers like? Are we going?
Well, you know, we have our very special LAFB like patented boxers.
His and hers.
Yeah. We won't make any more jokes about boxers.
Okay. We don't have that line yet, but I think now we do. I think now we need an LAFB boxer line.
Well,
if you're on radio, we talked a little about it last segment, but for podcasts, we'll kind of talk a little about it again. But it's been the impression of Indy. I mean, beautiful town. We're enjoying ourselves. What's been the thoughts of Indianapolis, Indiana?
Lovely people. I have to say that. All the servers, all the hotel workers here have been fantastic to us. I think that is an undersold thing about Indianapolis.
We always wonder, with a big event like this, if the locals dread it when it comes around or if they, like, embrace it. And I'm not going to assume, talking to everyone, but at least who we've met, seems like it's kind of like they look forward to it. They're like, all right,
yeah,
the band's back in town.
I think so.
When I lived in Long Beach, and every year we do the Long Beach Grand Prix. I say we. I don't even live in Long Beach anymore, but they do the Long Beach Grand Prix on the IndyCar circuit, and it was like the city freaking loved it. Everyone loved it, and it was like, all right, cool. IndyCar, April 15th around then that weekend, and had a ton of fun. It was like a huge for the economy, huge boost in sales. Restaurants were always bumping, and it seems kind of like that's the vibe here.
So there, I lived in San Francisco for 10 years. There are two events. Sorry. There were two events every year that just ruined my day. and not because of where I worked or anything like that. A little bit because of where I worked. But it was a thing called, well, there's the San Francisco Marathon.
Yeah. Marathons ruin everyone's day. Yeah, those are brutal.
It cuts across the entire city and they block it off. And it makes me late to work. It made me late to work like 5 out of 10 years. Anyway, the other one was called Beta Breakers, which is where it's supposed to be a race. From the bay side of San Francisco to the breaker side, the ocean side of San Francisco,
okay,
across the peninsula, 7 mile race or whatever.
So a swim or a run?
A run. Okay. Yeah. But at some point in the history of Beta the Breakers, it transformed into a drunken Halloween celebration.
Classic.
That just people amble across about halfway until they get to Golden Gate Park, and then they just pass out in the park. And that would just, it would infuriate me because I was always working on that day. It was right around my birthday too.
Did you live right by Golden Gate Park?
No, I lived in the Mission, and I worked north of Golden Gate Park. And so crossing, I would cross it, and I would just be like, what are these kids doing having fun?
you give me like a get off my lawn kind of vibe.
I do have that streak in me for sure. Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, those annoy me too.
I mean, we've been to Vegas together. We've traveled a few times. You know, I can let my hair down and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let your LFB boxers down.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah. But no, it's been a great time. A lot of fun here, seeing prospects, seeing coaches. Chargers fans, I feel like we're at a Chargers rom-com. Last night at dinner, I say hanging out very loosely. Hanging out with Joe Lombardi last night.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Kellen Moore today at lunch.
Yeah.
It's like a true like rom-com script. You couldn't write it up any better.
Got the new girlfriend and the ex-girlfriend.
And the ex. They're all in town together hanging out.
I didn't know what to say. I was, what do we do?
Yeah. Luckily, they didn't see each other as far as we know. We didn't have that. We didn't have that awkward exchange.
You know, when I saw Joe Lombardi, those old feelings of 4-yard passes came back. And I was like, oh, I miss those days.
Yes. All Chargers fans are rejoicing now. You know, the first 4-yard pass that Herbert throws next year, there's going to be like some heart attacks and like, what is going on here? I will tell you, it will happen. There will be a few four-yard passes, as long as that's not the entity of the playbook, I think we'll all be happy moving forward. But you know, let's talk draft a little bit, right? That's why we're here.
Yep.
Combine,
draft season.
Chargers picking 21, 22 technically, but 21 because the Miami Dolphins forfeited their pick. For whatever you want to call it, Yachtgate, is that what it's called?
Is that what it's called?
I think I just made that up. But
love it. Let's go with that.
Yachtgate, tampering, yada yada. So picking 21st. You know, I know you are newly diving into the Chargers. You're doing a great job, so I don't want to put too much on you in terms of breaking down exactly what they need. But I trust your analysis because you're a smart, knowledgeable guy. Obviously, I will comment on it as well. But from what you've been seeing, hearing, talking to fans, talking that we've talked to players and stuff, what do you like for the Chargers at 21 in terms of positional value?
We've gotten problems at wide receiver.
It seems to be what fans want the most.
I think that's the way to go. You've got one of the best gunslingers in the league, Justin Herbert. You've got one of the top receivers. I can't remember which one is a free agent.
No,
or cap, maybe a cap casualty.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. So there was no, you're totally so Keenan Allen. There was talks that they were going to cut him,
okay,
like a cap casualty.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Tom Telesco, for those I'm sure that have heard by now, here in Indy, said, that is not happening. Like, we are not trading Keenan Allen. We're not cutting him. He's in the plan. So unless he's a very good liar, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Joshua Palmer will be your core three going into the draft.
All right, so I'm mostly familiar with the Rams, and going back to our previous segment talking about the value of having some people here is we get that kind of the news.
Yes.
Where there's still this lingering Jalen Ramsey news.
Yes.
That we have no idea about. Tom Telesco cleared that up for the Chargers fans, but you Rams fans out there still hanging on.
That's
by
probably
a
why Les didn't come. He's like, I'm not answering any damn Jalen Ramsey questions. Like, there's
that's
no
fair.
Way.
That's fair.
All they would have asked. Like, I'm not answering those. And
fair
Tom,
enough.
And I appreciate Tom. And so, for those who don't know either, though, interestingly enough, Telesco and Staley both here, but did not do actual podium questions to the media. They disappeared on you know, the Pat McAfee Show, Good Morning Football, Sirius XM, but they didn't do any actual face-to-face media time. I don't know if it's because they knew they were going to get those questions, but I appreciate Tom Telesco for immediately just like, we're not trading Keenan Allen. He's a part of the, he's a big part of our future. He's integral to our offense. So yeah, as of now, middle of, or not middle, beginning of March, Keenan Allen is staying in LA, which is a good thing.
Well, as Eleanor Roosevelt said something about
yes,
bad, hot, nasty speed. That's what we need. She said something like that at the beginning of Talladega Nights.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite Will Ferrell movie. So my pick is Jordan Addison.
Okay.
For 21.
I tweeted that out a while
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect pick, and I think there's plenty of chance that might actually happen.
Yeah. See, I like that pick a lot. I know. Here's my take on that. So a lot of Charger fans, rightfully so, not saying this is wrong necessarily, but they are pounding the table for a speed receiver. Like we talk about with the Rams, we want juice, right, from the receiver position. Addison certainly has speed, but I wouldn't call him like a 4.28, 4.3 like burner. For me, and I'm when we talk about the draft, and I admit all the time, I'm not like a true draft Nick. Like I don't dive into these prospects. Like Chargers fans obviously know our show, Chargers Unleashed, on the network. Dan and Jake do a great job really diving into the prospects. Obviously, if you aren't yet, check out Chargers Unleashed. But for me, just in terms of draft value, using a first-round pick on a pure speed receiver, to me, seems unwise. Now, if you're getting a speed guy that can do a lot more, like Jordan Addison, it makes a lot of sense. And Jordan Addison, we'll see on Saturday when he runs what he'll run, but I'm guessing he's going to run probably in the 4.4s in the 40 time, which is certainly good speed. It's not your blow the top off of a defense, you know, 4.3 speed or something like that, like a Zay Flowers or some of those guys might run. And Zay Flowers obviously is a huge prospect that a lot of Charger fans are loving. But in the first round, it's just very hard for me to go for a pure speed guy that it, if they're a pure speed, again, if you can get more involvement in the offense, great. But a guy that is your pure stretch the defense guy, you're talking about a guy that's essentially going to get 2 to 3 targets a game. And in my first round, I need a guy that's involved in every play.
Well, so we've got Kellen Moore there now. I mean, he brought in CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
In Dallas.
And made him great.
And yeah. And I wouldn't say that he came into the league as a complete prospect. And I think his speed is probably what sold him for the Cowboys. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? What do you think Kellen Moore is looking for? Because he's, I mean, Brandon Staley obviously is genius, but more on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think Kellen Moore, I mean, any offensive guy is going to value speed. What I appreciated that Kellen Moore has talked about, Brandon Staley has also talked about, is that in order to have those big explosive plays, yes, a 4.3 speed guy can do that, but there's other ways the offense can create those opportunities to create those explosion plays. Whether it's, you know, actually having a run game, which the Chargers did not have last year. Whether it's really improving your intermediate to longer depth of reception, and then it keeps the defense guessing a lot more. And then, I mean, this is an LA show, so we can compare it. Van Jefferson is basically the Rams' deep guy. Van Jefferson is not... He's not a burner.
Yeah, no.
But because of what they're able to do, other aspects of the offense, which they weren't able to do last year, but in their Super Bowl run, they're able to do different things, and Van Jefferson all of a sudden is one of the best deep threats in football. You don't need a 4.2, 4.3 guy to do that. Now, that certainly helps, but I think what Brandon Staley and Kellen Moore have really doubled down on is we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves into that's the only way this is going to happen. And I hope fans can recognize that and say, like, okay, if we don't go that route, we can get creative on offense still to create those big plays. And another position that we can maybe transition to a little bit here that a lot of fans are pining for is tight end.
Mm-hmm.
21 might be a little rich for me for tight end, if I'm being completely honest. But, well, I don't know if this is a good but, because Kellen Moore has shown in Dallas that he really values the tight end position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but he's also shown that he's taking less talent and made them really good tight ends. So I don't know if you need a first-round pick to get good production from the tight end position.
Let me pose this question to you.
Pose away. Pose long enough so I can take a drink.
So, Jordan Addison, we've mentioned. Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame. Fantastic pass catcher, good blocker. Kind of, he's got the all-around kind of thing going at tight end.
Yep.
Which one would you take?
Oh, well, and the other big name is Dalton Kincaid out of Utah, which I've seen all three play live, obviously, covering USC. So I personally would go Addison. Maybe that's my affinity with USC. But I just think he's such a versatile receiver. He's not big. That's my only concern. You know, I think we'll see what he measures out on, I think, Saturday when the receivers do their measurements. But, I mean, even in his listing on USC, which – college always pumps those up a little bit, but I mean, I've met him. He's maybe 6 foot and probably like 170 max, I'm guessing.
Oh, wow.
So his size is a little concerning in terms of injury. Now, I would definitely imagine him put some weight on, but the route running ability, the catching, the smarts, the talent is all there. And adding him to Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Joshua Palmer, I think you get that's a dynastic four set receiver group.
Yeah, I think about building the wide receiver room, or your pass catchers anyway, as kind of like building a basketball team. And I think if you add, you know, somebody like Michael Mayer, it's kind of adding just another thing that they kind of already have, mm-hmm. in a way, I guess. Another lumbering guy out there that can go up and make a catch. But, you know, you just need enough speed to get over the top.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and here in Michael Mayer or Dalton Kincaid would be great. They're going to be good players in this league.
Yeah.
Great college careers, great prospects, true tight ends that can both block and pass catch. So they would be great picks. I just think what Kellen Moore's done, I think Gerald Everett's going to have a breakout year. You have the tight end in house that can be super dynamic. And he's a guy, I've talked about this before on the show, Ryan. When I watched him when the Rams drafted him out of South Alabama, I think he was drafted out of, in the second round. Classic less need pick, right? Classic dartboard. But when I watched him in training camp, I remember being like, wow. Like, the athleticism of this guy jumps, if your basketball terms, jumps out of the gym.
Yeah.
Jumps off the field. And just has never quite reached that potential, whether it was scheme fits, whether it was his own personal things, whether it was usage, whatever it may be, has never quite reached. Now, he had a pretty good year this year for the Chargers in LA, but as I alluded to earlier, what Kellen Moore has been able to get out of guys like Dalton Schultz and other tight ends that he's played with, I mean, Gerald Everett might be the most talented tight end he's ever coached. So why use a first-round pick on a tight end when you have a really talented guy in-house that you're already paying, when you can add something else to your weaponry that you don't have?
Yeah. Are there other wide receivers on your radar for the Chargers?
Zay Flowers is one that everyone's fallen in love with right now. Wolkenstein loves the guy, which rightfully so. Dude is a walking, you know, he's got the speed. He's got good size for how fast he is. I'm excited to, well, it'll be more so you. I fly out, but I'm excited to, well, tomorrow we'll be able to meet them interview-wise. But on Saturday when they run their drills, I'm excited to see, you know, how these guys test. I mean, I think you're set for that. I mean, is there another position outside of wide receiver or tight end you could see them go in the first round?
I mean, I feel like they have to invest something in their defense. I don't know if it's the first round, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they struggled to stop the run. Do they go defensive line? Do they go just zig when everybody wants them to zag?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not deep enough into the Chargers to know if that's a direction they would go. Staley defenses never pay linebackers.
Yeah.
Or is there a big safety that they could go for that would drop into the box? Obviously, with the two highs, you're not doing that a ton.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts on investing on defense in that first round?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all. As we get through this process, the Chargers, unlike the Rams, are much more predictable in how they draft. Like the last 3 years, literally it's been like, okay, they're going to take a quarterback at six. That was a given with Philip Rivers gone. Took Justin Herbert, who was my pick for them. And then it was like, okay, they're going to go left tackle. They go Rashawn Slater. It's like, okay, they're going to go guard, Zion Johnson. Like, it was very predictable what they were going to do, and they did it. This year is a little different just because last year, very unpredictably, they did so much in free agency, and now they don't have any cap space this free agency, so they kind of have to stay within their means of who they already have. So it's like, how do they want to address? Whereas last year, it's like, okay, they went big at corner in free agency, getting J.C. Jackson, big at edge, trading for Khalil Mack. You know, they made these moves in free agency, and then we saw the one weakness they had to address in the draft. Well, now going in, they're not probably going to do a whole lot in free agency, so it leaves that draft really wide open in what they can do. But defensive line, they have free agents. It depends if they bring back Morgan Fox. Linebacker, Drew Tranquil, who was a star last year, he's a free agent. Do they bring him back, or they have a whole linebacker? J.C. Jackson, obviously, trying to come back from a really gruesome injury. He's on track, it sounds like, but there's still not a lot of updates on whether he'll be ready even week one, two, three, four, whatever.
And it didn't seem like he was the right fit for the scheme.
It didn't seem great, but I think just given time, it would have improved. It was hard. He seemed like he was finally getting better and then shredded his knee. Yeah. So sometimes in those quick changes, and he was hampered all through training camp too, so he just wasn't able to get the reps. Which obviously won't help for this year because he's not going to get the reps either. So we'll see. But no, I mean, I think defensively, I could definitely see them going with one of these super talented D-line guys we just watched tonight run and add to that, because the good thing about this Chargers defense is in the final, kind of like Brandon Staley's MO with the Rams, right? Like, he was a king of adjustments in the second half. Mm-hmm. He was only there for 1 year, but everything about the Rams defense the year he was there was they were in the first half and like dominant in the second half. Well, now in year two of Staley's defense with the Chargers, the first half of the season, still second half of the season, they actually got really, really good. And if you look at the course of the season, how they rank out, it was very subpar because you look at the full 17 games. But I mean, those final 8, 9, 10 games, they were a top rush defense. They were a top pass defense. Like, they improved mightily. And so if they can just build off that momentum and potentially get maybe that one or two other piece in this draft, then I could really see them, you know, become a stout defense, which is what everyone expected when Staley was hired. So,
right.
We'll see. I think defensive line could be. I think most likely tight end or receiver is probably the play there. But we'll have plenty more coverage all weekend long here at the Combine. Skinny T's here the entire time. So Chargers fans, make sure you are paying attention. Follow this guy at RL Anderson, LAFB. Covers both our teams really, really well. So make sure you're following him, and we'll have plenty more coverage for you. That's all the time we got. Talk to y'all next week.
You're listening to the LA Football Podcast.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.